I'm Tracy Sable. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, Vatican approval. A major announcement from Rome regarding the Marian apparitions in Medjugorje. We have a report and reaction. Call to arms. Rising tension between Israel and Hezbollah amid explosions targeting handheld electronic devices. Captivity in China. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill take a closer look at Americans being held in the communist country. And diplomatic post. The Holy See recognizes a milestone in its relationship with the United States. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. Januarius. Our top story tonight, in the race for the White House, Vice President Kamala Harris talks to Oprah while former President Donald Trump addresses an anti-Semitism event in the nation's capital. All this as a new Washington Post poll shows an extremely tight contest in critically important Pennsylvania. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
That's right, Tracy. Good evening to you. That Washington Post poll reveals the two main candidates, Harris and Trump, are in a statistical tie in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, a recent EWTN News poll shows the economy is the key issue this November among Catholics. And today, President Joe Biden talking money.
President Joe Biden speaking at the Economic Club of Washington, D.C.
So let's be clear. The Fed lowering interest rates isn't a declaration of victory. It's a declaration of progress. It's a signal we've entered a new phase of our economy and our recovery.
The president's remarks coming a day after the Federal Reserve's big cut to interest rates, with consequences for savings, auto loans, and mortgages, and coming just weeks before the presidential election. The outgoing president also working to get his vice president into the Oval Office in January.
4 years ago, we've gone from a historic crisis to greater progress than any of us thought possible. We did it with a new playbook.
Later in the White House press briefing room, the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors tells reporters,
disinflation amidst strong growth, lower inflation, lower interest rates, wages and incomes growing. This is a solid economy.
Meanwhile, former President Donald Trump is coming off a rally in New York where he praised God for saving him from two assassination attempts.
And God has now spared my life. It must have been God. Thank you. There are those that say he did it because Trump is going to turn this state around. He's going to turn this country around. He's going to make America great again.
Trump also said he plans to visit Springfield, Ohio, and Aurora, Colorado.
You may never see me again, but that's okay. Got to do what I got to do. Whatever happened to Trump? Well, he never got out of Springfield.
Now, later tonight in Michigan, Vice President Harris is participating in a live stream with Oprah Winfrey, a two-hour Unite for America virtual event. And Donald Trump will also speak before the Israeli American Council, holding its national convention in the weeks before the first anniversary of Hamas's October 7th brutal attacks on Israel. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Well, Israel is declaring a new phase of the war against Hezbollah. In the latest round of attacks, fighter jets flew over Beirut, striking areas in southern Lebanon. The IDF reported it hit at least 30 Hezbollah targets, including a weapons storage facility. Israel said the bombings were aimed at degrading the group's capabilities and infrastructure. The announcement went out just as the leader of the Iranian-backed militant group began speaking. In a speech, Hassan Nasrallah gave his response to the apparent coordinated attacks targeting handheld electronic devices. Nasrallah said that Israel had crossed all red lines and laws, and he vowed retaliation against Israel.
The reckoning will come. Its nature, scope, when and where. That's something we will definitely keep to ourselves within the tightest circle, even within ourselves, because we are in the most precise, sensitive, and deeply significant part of the battle.
Lebanese officials say 37 people were killed and another 3,300 injured when pagers and walkie-talkies used mostly by Hezbollah militants detonated. Reports out of the Middle East say Israel's defense forces and intelligence services combined on the operation against Hezbollah. Nasrallah called Israel's attacks a historic blow, but pledged a crushing response from the axis of resistance. Meanwhile, the U.S. Secretary of State is visiting France, trying to work toward a ceasefire in Gaza. He addressed the difficulty of tensions between Israel and Lebanon.
There is a real problem that needs to be resolved when it comes to northern Israel and southern Lebanon, and that is the fact that since October 8th, Hezbollah has been firing rockets into Israel. Israel's been firing back. The population in both northern Israel and southern Lebanon has had to flee their homes, and we all want to see them be able to go back to their homes, and that requires a secure environment.
Meanwhile, Hezbollah says that it struck military positions in northern Israel, wounding at least 8 people. The United Nations is set to meet tomorrow to discuss the spiraling security situation in the region. And here now with analysis on this developing story is David Daoud with the Foundation for Defending Democracies. He is also an expert on Hezbollah and Lebanon. David, good to be with you today. Hezbollah's leader, that is, Hassan Nasrallah, had said that Israel crossed all rules and red lines with these attacks. He also said in part that it could be considered a declaration of war. Now, Hezbollah and Israel have been involved in this conflict for quite some time now. So, in a way, aren't they already at war?
Thank you for having me on again. Yes, absolutely they are. And this isn't the first time that Nasrallah himself has declared what's going on between Israel and Hezbollah a war ever since the organization began attacking Israel on October 8th without prior provocation. Comment has to be contextualized within the rest of his speech, which was essentially an exercise in damage control, where Nasrallah tried to downplay the extent of the Israeli accomplishment with the telecommunication device attack, and then tried to misdirect towards the alleged accomplishments of the Hezbollah since October 8th, namely opening up this support front, as they've called it, for Gaza and the impact it's had on Israeli society and morale. And then he ended with a challenge to Defense Minister Yoav Gallant and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying, if you think you can return the residents of northern Israel to their homes by force, I dare you to do so. So this was meant mostly a chest-puffing speech that was meant to do damage control, to cover up the humiliation that attended the actual physical attack that Israel succeeded in carrying out against Hezbollah.
Yeah, and you know, Hezbollah pledging this massive response, but you know, their communication system at least is partially dismantled. So how would they be able to plan and carry out such an attack?
Look, I don't think that Hezbollah lacks for creativity or means, right? This is definitely a disruption to their battle readiness. Not just in terms of disrupting their telecommunications network, but if we're going to take the numbers at face value, 37, if I'm not mistaken, of their fighters have been killed, 200 critically wounded, and thousands more wounded to some degree. And if you think of where these injuries occurred, either to their eyes, to their hands, to their pelvic region, perhaps they've been put out of commission for battle permanently. But again, the organization is not that brittle. They are able to continue fighting, as we're saying. They're continuing to fire upon northern Israel. And it all depends now on the Israelis really pressing the advantage that they gained from this cyber attack and whether they choose to do so or not.
Not a whole lot of time left, David, but I do want to touch on this. An Israeli man has been arrested in connection with an Iranian-backed assassination plot against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Is there more that you can tell us about that, and what does this signal?
Oh, this isn't the first time that Iran has sought to or has actually recruited Israeli citizens, including Israeli Jewish citizens, for such purposes. Usually Israeli Jews of Persian Jewish extraction who have family in Iran, that's been used as leverage against them. This man appears to have been brought into this web through bad business dealings and kind of been caught up in this. It seems like, from what I understand from what's been allowed to be reported in Israeli media, that he was happy when he was caught. So this was foiled in its track, but it's par for the course for Iran.
Yeah. And before I let you go, quickly, where do you see this all going?
It remains to be seen. Now, it's hard to see if the Israelis want to take, again, press the advantage or not. They've moved forces to the north, but that could be an anticipation of what they expect to be Hezbollah's response. I don't see Hezbollah initiating a full conflict. They don't want it now. They're not at an advantage to do so now. Lebanon's not in a position to withstand such a conflict. So I think we're going to see Hezbollah trying to take things back to the status quo ante prior to the telecommunications attack. But we're also seeing an intensification of Israeli strikes in South Lebanon now. And again, whether that goes to a full conflict or it's just a ratcheting up to a new intermediate phase remains to be seen.
Well, David, great to be with you. And thank you so much for your insights. I always appreciate it.
My pleasure.
One new report says that hundreds of Americans are being detained in communist China more than in any other country in the world. Families of several Americans who are in Chinese prisons told lawmakers their loved ones are suffering physically and mentally and want the Biden administration to do more to bring them home. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has that story. Eric.
Good evening, Tracy. Lawmakers on the Congressional Executive Commission on China heard gut-wrenching and tearful testimony as family members recounted how their loved ones were arrested and thrown into prisons. It's hard to believe that hundreds of Americans, no one really knows for sure, are being held in Chinese jails, some serving life sentences on charges their family members say are completely fiction.
There are hundreds of Americans who have been set up in some cases. There's no transparency in their courts. It's a kangaroo trial every single time. The Chinese Communist Party says you're guilty. That's the end of it.
And it's not just Americans. David Humphrey, a former journalist from Britain, spent 2 years in a Chinese jail after criticizing the government.
You start in a detention center where you sleep on rough wooden floorboards. There's 12 people in a cell that's only 16 or 17 square yards. The toilet is a hole in the corner of the room. No privacy. You eat from doggy bowls that are pushed through the bars of the door.
Just this week, China released an American pastor after nearly 20 years. He was serving a life sentence for starting an underground church. Harrison Lee, whose father has been detained for 8 years, says that opens a window of opportunity.
The next few months before President Biden leaves office are a critical window for getting my dad home and getting home all of the Americans wrongfully detained in China.
Tim Hun, whose sister was tricked into believing she won a contest that brought her to Hong Kong and eventually to mainland China. She was given designer purses before a flight, not knowing illicit drugs were sewn into the linings.
It's not about politics. It's about people. And I want my daughter, I want my sister home. My dad wants his daughter home. And the other Americans who were unjustly detained, their families want them home as well.
Others say they don't have the leverage.
If we had that star power, or we were wealthy, or had that political connection, I believe my son would be home. But because we just average people, it seems that no one cares.
Lawmakers accuse China of engaging in hostage diplomacy by, quote, warehousing American citizens to gain leverage against the United States. The U.S. State Department is even advising Americans to reconsider travel to China in a recent travel alert citing, quote, the risk of wrongful detentions. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including devotion to Our Lady. In 1981, six children reported experiencing visions of the Blessed Mother at Medjugorje. Now, more than 30 years later, the Vatican makes a big announcement about it. We'll tell you what they said. And bishops in the United Kingdom speak out against a new measure targeting pro-lifers. Welcome back. A group of nuns and other religious groups are asking the Supreme Court to intervene after a New York mandate would force them to cover abortion in their health care insurance plans. Initially, the mandate allowed employers with religious objections to receive an exemption. The state then redefined the law. The court will consider whether to hear the case this fall. As we reported yesterday, the United Kingdom is set to roll out new measures establishing buffer zones around abortion businesses. It also makes it illegal to distribute pro-life leaflets within the 160-yard radius. And now church leaders are speaking out. The spokesman for the Catholic Bishops of England and Wales says the group condemns the legislation, adding it is a step backward for civic and religious freedom. The group also says that the faithful are being targeted. Another part of the statement says, in part, quote, religious freedom includes the right to manifest one's private beliefs in public through witness, prayer, and charitable outreach, including outside abortion facilities. The measures in the UK are set to take effect October 31st. All right, now to major news from the Vatican. Pilgrims from around the world have been flocking to a site in Bosnia and Herzegovina where the Virgin Mary is said to have first appeared back in 1981. Despite controversies and doubts about its authenticity, the Marian shrine remains one of the most popular in the world. This morning, the Vatican officially approved devotion at Medjugorje without ruling on the authenticity of the alleged messages. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Sittigren has more.
In 1981, six children in the small village of Medjugorje in modern-day Bosnia-Herzegovina first reported seeing and receiving messages from the Blessed Virgin Mary. She identified herself as the Queen of Peace. Since then, more than 40 million pilgrims from around the world have made their way to Medjugorje. Many of them have found the experience life-changing, and there has been many reports of conversions, healings, and confirmation of vocations. But from the beginning, there has also been controversy surrounding the claims of the apparitions, with multiple investigations by local and Vatican authorities. The most important was launched in March 2010 by Pope Benedict XVI, when he appointed Italian Cardinal Camillo Ruini to head a commission of cardinals, theologians, psychologists, and others to examine the Medjugorje phenomenon. The commission gave its report in 2016 to Pope Francis and affirmed the supernatural nature of the first apparitions. It also made several key proposals, including placing Medjugorje under Vatican control, allowing church-organized pilgrimages, and declaring the first apparitions to be authentic. Pope Francis, meanwhile, said during an in-flight press conference in 2017 that there were doubts regarding the alleged current apparitions. In 2018, he named a Vatican official to provide oversight of the pastoral needs of the shrine and the many pilgrims visiting the site, who provided a positive report. The next year, Pope Francis formally authorized organized pilgrimages, acknowledging the abundant fruits of grace that have come from visits to the shrine. The Holy Father has also sent messages to participants of the Medjugorje Youth Festival every year since 2020. Over 1 million people from around the world visit Medjugorje every year, seeking authentic conversion, a return to God, and the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring. In a press conference with Vatican journalists this morning, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith granted approval for devotion linked to Medjugorje. They recognized the many good spiritual fruits received at the sanctuary, without making a declaration on the alleged supernatural character of the Marian apparitions. Noting that the faithful are not obliged to believe in the apparitions, the Vatican continues to encourage healthy devotion to Our Lady and pilgrims who visit the sanctuary to seek an encounter with Mary, the Queen of Peace. In Rome, Benedict Sedegrian, EWTN News Nightly.
All right, for analysis, we turn now to Dr. Mark Miravalli, Chair of Mariology at Franciscan University of Steubenville and Ave Maria University. Dr. Miravalli, great to be with you today. First off, tell us your reaction to the news from the Vatican and also the timing of it. Why make this decision now?
Well, first of all, it has to be, emphasize that this is the highest possible category that a reported apparition can receive. Back in May 2024, there was a new set of norms which eliminated the possibility of a local bishop or even the dicastery of the Doctrine of Faith itself to make a declaration of supernatural origin. So in light of the new norms, and there's now six new categories, the highest category is what Medjugorje received. So, and it received the nil obstat, meaning nothing stands in the way, because of the undeniable spiritual fruits. Why does it come now? Well, I think the dicastery is making a bunch of prudential decisions on these apparitions, not necessarily new research into them, but kind of statements that are pragmatic. And there was a sense that this would be a time to make a statement about Medjugorje. which eventually allows people to continue to go there and to continue to believe, although it's not a statement of supernatural character.
Yeah, and in its announcement, the Vatican did acknowledge the Medjugorje has a, quote, long and complex history. Tell us, you know, what have been a few of the controversies, and how is the Holy See addressing that in the declaration?
Well, there's elements of controversy with any reported apparition. I think there were issues concerning some of the activity of the visionaries, some of the reported messages. But I think we have to remember that this is always the case with a reported apparition. I mean, this happens at Lourdes and Fatima with the miraculous medal. There's always secondary elements that can cause concern. At Lourdes, for example, there were several cases of demonic possession between the 14th and 16th apparitions. But I think overall, it's a very significant green light of saying, look, we can't say it's supernatural because of our own norms, but we can say that these spiritual fruits are undeniable. And I think this is very important because Jesus in Scripture gives us the spiritual fruits as the single criterion. He says in Matthew 7, 15 and 20, you'll know a good tree by good fruits. He also says a bad tree cannot produce good fruits. So when you're acknowledging the spiritual fruits, you have to implicitly be making reference to a reality of something supernatural, even though you can't specifically say it. Otherwise, you're kind of separating Our Lady from the graces that she typically brings, which give us indications of when we see something as supernatural. So I think it's a very positive overall direction, and I don't think you ever want to separate Our Lady from the graces that she powerfully brings in authentic apparitions.
Yeah, and now that it's approved, what does this mean on a practical level, you know, for the average Catholic?
Well, there's not a radical change from what it meant yesterday. This is an official Nihil Obstat, and that means, again, nothing stands in the way. There can be devotions. There was a question this morning at the press conference in the Vatican, can you have new shrines to Medjugorje? And Cardinal Fernandez said, yes. So the pilgrimages can continue, but of course, that was already the case. They already had an official status, which again is not explicit to authenticity, but certainly you don't want people going to places that the church thinks is fundamentally not authentic. And so practically speaking, apparition interest in Medjugorje can continue. Bishops can send pilgrimages there. And overall, I think it's an official statement of the church saying we see great spiritual fruits, which are undeniable. And in that sense, we give it the highest possible approval that we can under the present norms.
Well, Dr. Mirovalli, thank you so much for weighing in. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, underwater, an update on the deadly flooding through much of Central Europe and why help may be on the way. Plus, the envelope, please, how the Vatican is commemorating its relationship with the United States. Flooding in several countries in Central Europe, the leader of Hungary assures his citizens that they will be safe.
A jelentések szerint a budapesti védművek a tegnap esti...
Prime Minister Viktor Orbán made his comments as the Danube River rose more than 3 feet in less than 24 hours. Authorities are shutting down ferry service as well as roadways and rail stations. Orbán says they are focusing on vulnerable parts in the city as 6,000 workers are set to protect the area. And now take a look at this at the northern region of Italy, where torrential rains have caused towns to be submerged. Around 1,000 residents spent the night in shelters while train service is suspended and schools there are closed. The European Union is pledging billions of dollars in aid to the affected areas. Well, finally tonight, the relationship between the Vatican and the United States officially has a stamp of approval. This week, the Vatican unveiled a commemorative stamp to mark 40 years of diplomatic relations with the United States. The two nations announced relations during the Reagan administration back in 1984. In fact, one Vatican City leader says diplomacy actually extends back to 1788, when George Washington allowed the Holy See to freely appoint bishops in the new country. Well, there you go. You learn something every day. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.